Hello, I'm Phil Svitek, 360 Creative Coach, and in this episode, I want to explore something that I don't think gets talked about enough. And let me pose it to you this way. When tragedy strikes, do we not as a society talk about it? Meaning, when 9/11 happened, wasn't that what was top of everyone's mind? And however they talked about it, they conversed about it, right? And you can pick any other sort of national or worldwide tragedy, right? Certainly the pandemic has been one in recent memory and so forth, right? You can just go down any sort of list. But interestingly enough, whenever tragedy strikes the Black community, we don't really talk about it because, and I mean from a white perspective, because we're too afraid of the subject matter, too afraid of saying something incorrect. And we, for the most part, you know, this isn't a blanket statement, but just as a generalization, we don't talk about it with the Black community. We don't ask and check in with the people affected, even if not like directly, but let's say our friends. And it's odd to me, right? Because again, it's not like you would go in to work the next day post, let's say, 9/11 and not like just feel that and have that be part of the workday, you know? And in some capacity, whether, you know, someone's being quiet about it or not, it would just in some way be addressed. And yet, when it comes to, you know, let's say like something like George Floyd, or any, again, pick any number of instances that affect the Black community, it becomes like a landmine that we, as a society, and again, I'm speaking more towards white people, it's a landmine we don't want to step on. You know, we don't want to come off as racist. We don't want to, as I may mention, say the wrong thing, say something insensitive. And so we don't say anything. Why? Right? We have to get out of that mindset. If, you know, I don't agree with this ideology, but like the use of like being colorblind gets tossed around. So, you know, if by that notion someone wants to be colorblind and they really believe like I don't see color, then it's like, why wouldn't you, when tragedy strikes the Black community, why wouldn't you talk about it? Because if it was any other sort of tragedy, you would talk about it, right? And it's interesting to me. I have this odd fascination, and certainly when I look back at my life, it has been applicable. And I'm like, well, why is that? You know? And it isn't until recently that I started getting beyond that sort of, I don't know, call it conditioning, programming, or just, I don't know necessarily like why that is the case, at least for me. But I started getting beyond, and you know, and I do check in. You know, and part of that is knowing my friends and understanding and being like, okay, well, what's like pushing it too much versus like what's an appropriate circumstance and the right level of just saying like, hey, you know, are you okay? And oftentimes, you know, part of it is, you can't be pushy, right? It's kind of like offering a lending hand. It's in a way of saying, hey, I realize like what happened must be hard on you or must have affected you in some sort of way. You know, if you need anything, I'm here for you. Don't hesitate to reach out, type of thing, right? And, you know, it goes on a individual level. Ultimately, you have, like I said, you have to know the players involved, if you will, and what's appropriate and what's not to each individual. So thought and effort has to go into it. But yeah, I think we have to get beyond that and really be there for each other in all tragedies, not just the ones that we're comfortable talking about. And I know that sounds strange. It's like, oh, well, you know, who felt comfortable talking about 9/11? Well, in an odd way, there is a side of it where, yeah, it was a tragedy and it was horrifying, and it obviously affected millions. It affected the world ultimately because of the fallout, if you will. But still, there's this like weird, insidious, if you will, level of comfort being able to speak about that sort of event versus our own, you know. And yeah, there's part of our history in America is a very violent and racist history, and in a way we like part of that is like we try to just bury that so we don't have to like bring it to the surface. And in a way, it's like a lot like therapy, you know, out of sight, out of mind. But just because you think that doesn't make it necessarily true, right? In therapy, the way to rid yourself of traumas and bad memories of the past and so forth is to have to deal with it head on. And it's not always pleasant, but it is necessary to move that step forward. And so a part of just that in general, if you want to call it like this national healing and coming to a more peaceful and humane society, is to acknowledge that that communities suffer from pain in different ways. You know, and you can extend that to all communities, the Asian American community, the Black community, any number of communities, and just apply humility and empathy towards those situations and engage in conversations, and not where it's a burden, as I am alluding to, but really to be a show of support. And that can feel exhausting for yourself, I get that. But now again, put yourself in the shoes of the community that affects, especially when it's repeat offenders. Not quite literally, but metaphorically speaking, right? You know, in the instance of the Black community, like how much police brutality can they take, you know? And many people have become desensitized to it, exhausted and so forth, but obviously it affects them. And so for us as a white community to turn our blind eye and just be like, anything is about race, about this, blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, enough. And it's like, okay, but that's letting your ego be part of the conversation as opposed to realizing it's not about you. It's about them. So, these are just some of the things that I've been thinking about and processing and realizing in the past couple of months, you know, and thought it was worthwhile to share. You know, you might have differing thoughts and opinions or different approaches to this, and I invite you to share those in the comments section or hit me up on social media. I would love to, you know, hear from you. If you're respectful, I will be respectful back. We can have differing thoughts and still have a civil dialogue. If you're not interested in that, then I don't imagine why you have listened to this thus far, but you know, I'm not here for that. So even if we disagree, I'm here to have a civil conversation. I would appreciate that from you as well. Thank you for taking the time to tune in and really hear my thoughts and hopefully you get where I'm coming from. I truly appreciate you. And, you know, if you aren't subscribed to this, I invite you to do so. That way you get all the various lessons and episodes that I put out right when I put them out. That's a free and huge way to help support me. And I hope it's beneficial to you as well. Otherwise, you wouldn't be doing it, right? But if you want to go beyond that, there's links down below to my coaching services. I have books out, Master Mental Fortitude, which is a workbook. It's a nonfiction book I have my debut novel, Elan Elan. That's been a long time coming. It's a coming of age story. I have my movie, Love Market, out. So those are out, available on Amazon. You can just type my name and find all those. And again, the links are in the description box as well. So if you want to truly support me, those are some of the ways. And also, I've restructured my Patreon page, patreon.com/PhilSvitek. And, you know, there I really want to, because I love doing these episodes and having these conversations, but I want to even take it to a next level and be more helpful to you. And so through the Patreon page, that allows me to do that. So I would appreciate if you at least checked it out. Thank you. I appreciate you. See you next time.